Welcome back in. Happy Friday. More of the Connor Average Show. You're in 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com. It's where you can find us streaming both audio and video. You could also text into the show now at 402-951-1620, the same number that you call when you'd like to talk of us. Josh mistakenly... Here's a good cool thing about the text line. So Josh makes a small mistake. He says he's going to engorge himself instead of gorge himself.
I like the popcorn, but not that much.
And somebody can immediately text in and say, hey, what the hell?
Hey, dum-dum, it's gorge yourself. I know it's gorge. I was hoping to breeze right on past it, and I thought I gotten away with it. If it weren't for you meddling kids.
The text line, it's here so you guys can call us out on our crap. And that is why we make things like this happen. Yes, and to make money as well. Okay, Brian Munson of Husker Online joining us now. Hello, Brian.
Accountability, that's what that text line does.
Thank you.
Accountable.
Yes, we are accountable and transparent. That's what we're doing.
Go above board. We will remain above board on this show.
Yes, just like Alabama's recruiting operation.
I tell you what, I thought it was, and I love the fact that there's been, you know, Saban kind of backing off of it a little bit this morning. I read the post that was put up by one of our members on Red Sea Scrolls this morning, and I think what really though happened that cannot be retracted, it cannot be undone, is that a timer has been put on Jimbo.
Oh, yes.
There's been a huge light now that's been cast to say, oh, you know what? You're right. Jimbo has gone from one five-star to five. And all of a sudden now, if you still have got the same results and you're still 8-4, 7-5, boy, that is a really tough one to now be able to go back and say, well, you see what happened was.
Mm-hmm.
Because now all of a sudden your excuses are down the drain. You're being more effective potentially with this NIL being more of a recruiting tool than what it was before, and that's how you're kind of evening the playing field at the moment. But, you know, you are at least pulling in, from a ratings perspective, better talent. The problem now that I think that Jimbo has is that he does fairly well with good talent. He just, I mean, maybe you have a better example than me, because I'm fresh out of him. I can't think of a guy that he's developed.
Mm.
And that's where I have a problem with Jimbo and where he was at in Tallahassee to where he's gone to College Station. I don't see a guy that just got remarkably better underneath, you know, Jimbo being a coach. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I struggle to come up with like a shiny example of that.
Well, there's that, and then, you know, you're calling out the king too, so. And they're going to play October 8th, and that game is going to be it's going to feature a lot of fireworks. But he's on the clock from a recruiting perspective and having to have some success. You got to win specifically against Alabama too. Like that is now. I mean, because this is going to come back, and he was pretty outspoken in what he said yesterday morning. We were listening to that press conference, parts of it live on the air, and just saying, "Oh man, this is out of control."
Oh, and I'm a little ignorant to it, but how long has it been since A&M has beat Alabama? Has it happened here recently, or is it Johnny Manziel?
I think it was the Johnny Manziel year. I'm pretty sure that was the last time.
Yeah, that's been a while, obviously. So, I mean, and I think that was pre-Jimbo.
Yes.
That was still someone, right?
Yes.
So, that's calling your shot in a Babe Ruth way that, you know, that you didn't really intend to have happen, but that you just got it. That's so good. Good luck with that, Jimbo.
Not
a lot of people have been great, you know, doing that one.
Hold on. I one exception. They beat him. I guess they beat him last year. Why do I not remember that?
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. And that's on me. Like I said, hey, I live in Texas. I don't pay attention to Texas schools. Really, I don't. SMU, I do, just because it's kind of fun with the AAC, but SEC schools, gone, dude. Like, I don't
do it. Yeah. Wow. It's weird. And
I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have guessed that. And obviously, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, that tells you what, I mean, Texas A&M's season became. So maybe that's part of the reason why he gets up the courage to say some of the things that he said yesterday. Okay, Munson, let's get into some recruiting items here. So I know a couple times here we've talked about Kansas City and Nebraska's kind of willingness to jump in the area. This weekend they get a couple guys coming into town, and Caden Green and Jaden Doss, and they are big time recruits, and they are from the Kansas City area. Is this the immediate kind of payoff of Nebraska putting more time and effort into that area?
Yes. Well, yes and no, but the no has an asterisk. So with like a guy like Doss, and I'll even let's throw in Dylan Edwards here too, because Dylan Edwards is a Derby, Kansas kid, and it all comes back to the recruiting coach that still has that area, Bill Bush. So what you've done now is you put one of the most dedicated recruiting guys on your staff into an area where you have just lacked success for the last decade. I mean, you've gotten a few guys out of there, but it's not been, you know, the type of success that you really need to kind of, you know, I mean, kind of make Nebraska successful. Let's be honest. When you go back and you say, what are all the things that have gone into the fact, you know, that Nebraska can only win 4 games a season, and you've had this run of this, lack of success over these numbers of years. One of those items that I would throw out to you is that you've had a lack of success in getting players out of the Kansas City area to come to Lincoln.
Yeah.
That would absolutely be one of my numbered items. But when you talk about what Nebraska has really done, you have made some really nice hires and some promotions when it comes to your assistant coaching staff, and you have put them over areas of critical need. And one of those areas of critical need, neighboring state Kansas, and specifically into the metro area of Kansas City. So you get Jaden Doss, and obviously then you get Dylan Edwards. Now, we all know that Caden Green has been on Nebraska's radar going well before Bill Bush being a full-time assistant coach for Nebraska. He was actually there at the spring game in 2021. But what we can say, based on his comments also, Nebraska was out of it. Nebraska was realistically, he was not going to give Nebraska another look until his younger teammates went to Nebraska for a junior day earlier on this spring, actually technically this winter, I think it was in January, and basically the head coach came back and says, hey, Caden, you need to give Nebraska another look. A lot of things have changed. They got a different offensive line coach. You got a different recruiting coach. There have been some really nice adjustments. And then Caden went back to Nebraska. If Nebraska doesn't make those changes, they are not sitting here with Caden Green coming in this weekend, period. So that's the no with the asterisk, but really everything is yes. So Nebraska is putting Kansas City under more of a microscope. It's a bigger importance than what it has been, you know, before. Even what words have been said before, actions are speaking louder than words right now. Three guys, all Bill Bush's guys, are all coming in. And I think that it's really impressive, because the Dylan Edwards one came from completely off the radar. We weren't even talking about him, and it went from an unofficial to an official in about a 24-48 hour window, and all three guys are Bill Bush's guys this weekend.
Munson, okay, so excuse me. Let's go back to Green real quick. So yeah. In my mind, he sort of represents a pretty big deal. Class of 2023, big offensive lineman. And, you know, a lot of people think about big-time recruits in terms of how early can they help you. And maybe you don't think about that with offensive linemen, but it's sort of a position of need. And the fact that he's from Kansas City, sends some sort of message like you just mentioned. I mean, that would be a pretty big deal, and he would immediately go into the classes as the top guy for next year and kind of that anchor if they were to, you know, make. And not saying that they're close or anything like that, but I guess what are their realistic chances with him?
Well, so Nebraska was announced to be part of this top five probably like back in March.
Yep.
I think that was right after his visit that he had taken earlier that month. So it's like Nebraska, Oklahoma, Michigan, Missouri, and the oddball in there was Miami. Miami, he hadn't even visited yet, but Miami kind of got this honorary seat at the table of being in the top five. Is Nebraska in a good position with Caden Green? It's improved. Are they still behind? Absolutely. I think Oklahoma is still your leader here in the clubhouse anyway for Green. I think Missouri is there. I think Michigan is there. I think Nebraska is right there. I think Nebraska can still improve things because of these connections that are there that Nebraska is able to kind of put things together. Let's say, for example, you're pulling in these three guys that are geographically related. They probably know each other personally or have some sort of a personal relationship. I know that Dylan Edwards and Jaden Doss do. There is a relationship there. Those guys do know one another. But if you pull these three guys in together and you get these types of guys to talk to one another, then they go out and they all have their own experiences then across the next three, four official visits, whatever it is that they're going to take. They're going to keep coming back to one another to ask each other about what it is that they're thinking about. I think that those are the kinds of conversations that Nebraska's got to really, really look forward to, that they're going to show well against these other schools because of what they can offer in terms of opportunity, in terms of how they've approached them, authenticity, just kind of being a more genuine feel when they go take these official visits. That's what we typically hear about. So I think that Nebraska really can improve their position, not just this weekend by bringing them in and showing them what's going on, but also as time kind of goes on. If they're not completely and totally wowed, and there's some, you know, although Jimbo and Nick would probably argue about it, some NIL thing that comes out of left field that makes it a recruiting pitch, it provided that like nothing like that really goes on, I think Nebraska can really come out good, looking good this weekend, and I think things can actually kind of improve.
Munson, how do you read into the Marcus Washington situation for Nebraska? I guess, is it surprise you? Does it surprise you that they are taking a look at another a transfer portal wide receiver at this point in time? I guess how do you pull that thing apart at this point?
Yeah, I'd have to say again, yes and no. I mean, it makes some sense because of what has happened, you know, transfer portal with Betts leaving. You know, are you looking for a number one guy? No, you're sitting really good there, actually, with your number one situation, with Trey Palmer being there. You've got other guys that are good compliments still, but Xavier Betts was part of that complimentary kind of look that you felt like you're going to have a chance to bring back in the fall. And the more that time kind of goes on, and I actually got a text message from some folks last night asking about Betts, whether or not I thought he was going to return. My answer, basically, once he said he was done or that he was leaving the team, I didn't expect him to come back in the first place. And I think as time goes on, it further just kind of puts the nail on this one. So
I think so too.
I think Palmer's your number one guy. I think Nebraska would love to find some other pieces to kind of go around him and compliment him. I watched that Marcus Washington YouTube video from his highlights. A lot of that stuff was still with Casey and, you know, some batted away passes, some missed opportunities where he's wide open. He's quick. He's got a nice frame to him. He's actually been in Nebraska before. He visited back in 2018 for a game. Then he, like, shortly after that committed to Texas. So I think what you're looking for there is you're looking for a guy that can come in and be that kind of nice number two, number three option. Obviously, there's a chemistry there between Casey and Marcus, which you'd like. And I think the one thing that I mentioned in Tunnel Talk this morning, you know, Nebraska, not only is it trying to get into Kansas City, they're trying to get into St. Louis. St. Louis has been under more lock and key, you know, than Kansas City has been. Nebraska's been able to get a guy out here and there, but out of St. Louis, it's not happened. So Marcus is a guy that has came from St. Louis. I think that could help out indirectly, not necessarily getting a guy out of the 2023 class, but it could help at least to be able to show that if he has some sort of a season this fall, what it is that you can kind of do, you know, with your offense to kind of get some guys some spotlight. So I think that's really what they're looking at Washington for.
Munson, lastly, the other big recruiting story this week was Cade McIntyre getting some offers from around the region, not for Nebraska, just in general. And I know every kid is different, so they value different things. But in general, how big of a deal is it for a kid to get that first offer and then the connection to or the first Power Five offer, you know, if they're going to be a Power Five recruit, what does that first Power Five offer mean to them in a general sense?
Well, it's a validation. It's a validation that a D1 program feels like you're capable of playing D1 football. And that's typically, this is going to sound weird and redundant and circular logic and all the other things that kind of go along with it. But you get a lot of times that your program is a little bit scared or timid of making that first D1 offer because you don't know really what it's going to say publicly or privately about making that offer. So a lot of teams are waiting, you know, to kind of hear that validation. Oh, Kansas State's in the boat. Wyoming just said, oh, guess what? PJ from Minnesota, he yep. decided to go ahead and offer. Oh, now the Hawkeyes did too. That's not really what's been behind here, I think, with Cade. I think Cade, you had an initial assessment of him on offense only. And I think then that needed to be expanded, and it's now looking at him more as an athlete. I think that Cade's going to end up picking up an offer, and I think it's going to be more like, get him into the program. He's a fantastic athlete. He's going to bust his butt. Get him in here, and he's going to improve our program somewhere. We just don't – we kind of think we know where it is. We just aren't exactly sure where it's going to be. So I think Cade's going to end up getting an offer. It's just going to be, when does that actually find its way to him?
All right, Munson, we'll let you go. Appreciate you taking the time, as always. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you soon.
That is Brian Munson of Husker Online. So there's a couple things there. We didn't get all the way into it with on the McIntyre situation there. But let's go back to that wide receiver spot. The Marcus Washington thing has raised maybe some questions or just kind of like, hey, what is this? What's the purpose of it? Is it just Nebraska kind of taking a look? They want to bring him in to see if he can help, or they feel like they need help? Kind of what is it? And what Munson said, I'd have to think about some more. Are we with what level of confidence can we bring to the table and say Trey Palmer is Nebraska's is going to be a dependable number one receiver? Because I hear that, and it goes back to a thing that we, man, who were we talking about this with the other day, Josh? Was it Sam? But production for transfers and what that means, I'm a big believer in that. And not that Palmer hasn't produced, but I think a lot of times we look at a guy and we say, oh, well, he's transferring from LSU. Obviously, he could be Nebraska's number, you know, LSU's fifth guy could be Nebraska's number one receiver. That translates. That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense on paper. You know, we do that, in my opinion, a little bit too much with the transfers. I think we did it with Omar Manning. You know, so what does that end up looking like? Nebraska's wide receiver situation this year. And do they need more help than it may look like right now, or it may seem like, or the perception would tell you? I don't know. I'm interested in exploring that a little bit. And we could do so with Brian Christopherson of Husker 24/7. He'll join us next. He caught up with Brian Applewhite this week. That is a spot where I am less, I have less concern maybe than I have ever had in the Scott Frost era. With the guys that are back there and then the coach that they have as well. He seems like he's made a pretty sizable impact already. So BC, the second of the Bryans, will join us next year on 1620 The Zone.